BSBOT, the last ever public episode. A sad one to go out on, to be honest. Isn't it kind of sad that the last BSBOT that goes on the main feed before it goes behind the paywall on Patreon is kind of a loss to Alain Mignot? Isn't that sad?
It stinks. Maybe the most.
Did you just throw up?
What, did I?
It sounded like you did.
I told you this before we started recording. This has been a hell of a week.
Yep.
And then today was an incredibly long day that no one here gives a shit to hear about. So yep. I'm not going to get into the details.
But that's why we keep grinding for the fans, Greg.
Damn right. Has there ever been a more Alain Vigneault win?
No.
Than this one?
No, this is like the prototypical, like, this is, we've watched so much Alain Vigneault in our days. We've talked about him on this podcast. Our most listened to podcast, or third most listened to podcast this year, was the 9-0 victory against the Flyers, which was mostly curse words, to be honest with you. And in this case, to rely on Mr. Elliott to save a million incredible, just save after save, very Henrik Lundqvist-esque, Jimmy Howard-esque on MSG night, just doing his best and damnedest to prevent the Rangers from having any fun whatsoever. Like, let's not kid ourselves here, right? The Rangers had every chance to win this game. Every single chance. Kako blew it.
It shouldn't have been 1-0 after one.
No
way. The odds of it, the odds you play that exact period 100 more times and the score line is just 1-0 Rangers, I think it's fewer than 10.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I said to a couple people that we usually talk to, like, this game should be 5-2, 5-3, maybe. Igor played out of his absolute mind. The guy, like,
credit where credit is due. So did Elliott, man.
Oh,
Elliott,
yeah.
I tweeted this before we started recording, but it felt like Elliott himself demoralized the New York Rangers. And then as soon as Van Riemsdyk gets that second goal, the Rangers were like, well, fuck.
That's it.
Shit.
Yeah, what do we do now?
It.
Yeah.
It's... Yeah. The first goal is so fluky that I think you could see it annoy and piss the Rangers off.
Well, first of all, JVR, like, he took a puck off his face.
He took it off the fucking face.
He took it off the face and it went right into the net. And it was like, okay, well, sometimes you're the tree if, you know, that's it. Like, what are you going to do? You get pissed on sometimes. That's exactly what happened to the Rangers. And, then it was like, okay, we can fight back into this at 1-1. The second goal, well, first of all, JVR, hockey players, my dude, comes back out. It clearly has something in his mouth. Maybe he lost some teeth. Have no idea. He's chewing on some stuff. Looks like he's bleeding a little bit in his mouth. Just right in front of the net, tips one in, 2-1. Rangers, and that's it. They look defeated. Panarin scores a late goal in 2 minutes left. And, I mean, listen, the Rangers had many, many chances, even on the 6v5, to score there and could not convert. And now the playoff hunt is over. We spent a lot of Tuesday morning's episode talking about, how this could be really a run that the Rangers could make versus the Islanders and other teams in the hell of pit of misery, the East. Did not happen. Lost two games in a row, and it's over now, Greg. You know, hate to be a bummer, but that there's no way now. I know there's some mathematical way, but no chance.
No. And we talked about this on the Tuesday morning show, where the Rangers were in a position, not just you can't lose games, you can't drop points, and they went 0-4. So it's, I understand that mathematically, technically speaking, the New York Rangers are alive, but they very much are not. It's done. The Islanders got at least a point tonight. I apologize for not knowing if they actually won. I just know it went to overtime.
I believe they won 1-0. Let me check right now.
The Bruins did exactly what we thought the Bruins would do against the Sabres.
5-1 against the Sabres.
Yeah, so it's...
Yeah, and the Islanders couldn't go to overtime for the Rangers. They actually lost. I'm sorry. It was the opposite. Capitals won.
But in overtime.
But in overtime. So it doesn't matter. Exactly. Yeah. We said it on the show.
They got the point. Yeah. It's the point at this point is it's just as much of a death blow as the Rangers itself losing. Yeah. Listen, the Rangers played it. It sucks. The four-game Devils series really turns out to be just such a false flag because the Devils are just so bad.
Yeah.
So of course the Rangers won four in a row. It's almost unfortunate.
The Devils did score five goals in a row against the Pittsburgh Penguins in the third period the other day, though. I just want to give some credit to the Devils.
Six.
Oh,
six,
sorry.
Yeah. They came back from, I think it was 6-0. They came back and still lost. Lindy Ruff, keep it up, man. Love it. Please
love you,
please,
buddy.
Stay there forever. The Rangers needed to be perfect, and to their credit, they looked great once again against this Flyer team in the first period.
Looked awesome. Dominant.
They looked great for the first half of the second period as well. They were playing extremely well. Something happened on the first Van Riemsdyk goal where it literally goes off his face and in the net. And it looked like the Rangers became frustrated. And then when he scores the second one, it looks like the Rangers are like, well, fuck. Brian Elliott has taken away our will to live. And this is the bed we've made now. I'm not going to say this. It looked like the players quit or anything.
No, it didn't look like anybody gave up. But you could.
No,
you could,
but
the vibes are real, man. Vibe check in arenas and around teams. Those things, no matter what analytics people tell you, and I'm sure they'll tell you that they don't exist, and vibes and momentum doesn't exist, and all that stuff. And I respect the Chart Boys out there. You know that. I'm friends with a lot of Chart Boys and Chart Girls. Shout out to Shayna. And in this case, there was just a bad vibe around the team once they were down 3-1. It was just, that's it. You kind of know.
I thought when it got to 2-1, it kind of felt like just an inevitability at that point in time.
I don't even know where we go from here. That's kind of the sad part. It's like we have the 9 games remaining on the New York Rangers schedule. And the power play didn't particularly change tonight. There was no stream for the beat writers to watch earlier this week, or rather after the Islander game. And there were some reports that Kako got some power play time. Yeah, power play 2 saw a little bit of ice time tonight with Lafreniere on it, so that was nice. A little bit of a treat. Lafreniere got also a lot of first line time, which was nice. But
I will say, that first line looked great.
Looked good.
The first period and a half of the game, Lafreniere was getting opportunities.
I thought Mika had a lot of good chances to bury a couple good ones.
He was making opportunities for Mika. Kako had a good game, drawing an offensive zone penalty. Always gets a little feather in the hat for me. Brendan Smith had the most Brendan Smith game that I could possibly imagine, which is he scores a goal and immediately takes 2 penalties thereafter as well. This game's tough because there were a lot of things to like about the Rangers' performance early. It's just Brian Elliott was possessed by Henrik Lundqvist.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have any other way to describe it.
It's funny because I don't know what else to say about that game. It's like, well, that was it. It's so deflating because to me, losing against the Islanders 6-1 was brutal. It was maybe the most embarrassing game loss of the year, in my opinion, with the exception
when
of maybe
consider, when you
opening
consider
night.
The stakes.
Yeah.
When you consider the stakes, yes.
Yeah, it was the most embarrassing loss of the year. And opening night, when the Rangers lose 5-0 to the Islanders, when you've been dying and craving hockey for all that time, it's like, all right, well, at least there's a game in a couple days from now. And the Rangers ended up getting some revenge against the Islanders at that point in time. The Rangers have gone back and forth with the Islanders quite a few times this year. It's never really been a tight battle. It's one of the other team. One team dominates, the other one doesn't. That's exactly it. And in this game, it was like, all right, well, we lost to the Islanders 6-1. Maybe if everything falls right, we can still keep momentum. We beat AV. We go into the weekend. And things are, it's a little tough, but we could still keep the momentum and keep it tight for the other teams. Just didn't happen. Just didn't happen. And that's it. The playoff hopes are dashed. That's the end of the season pretty much. And that's okay. You and I expected them not to make the playoffs. We said all year long, this is the 5th or 6th best team in this division. And that's okay. But my big takeaway from this year so far, and I've said it from the beginning, there's a lot of good hockey being played in this division. There's a lot of great teams, and I would have rather had them in this division than any other division in the league because this is a team that's going to know and be battle-tested from now on, like what good hockey is. And when they go play other teams in other divisions where they should have been a playoff team next year, I expect them to surprise and impress a lot of squads from the West and Canadian division next year that won't be ready for the talent that they have stacked in this lineup.
Yeah, we never want to be the guys that say, moral victories, right? I
don't
feel
really
like
moral
I
victories.
Myself,
yeah.
I hate them. I hate them. But that doesn't mean there aren't positives to take away from the season. But if you go all the way back, if you go all the way back to not just before the season, but after opening night when the Rangers got absolutely shit pumped by the Islanders.
They did.
If you told me after that game that the New York Rangers with 9 would take this season down to 9 games remaining where they had a legitimate shot.
I would have clapped. I'm sure
you would have been surprised. You wouldn't have even clapped. You would have been like, that doesn't seem likely. I don't know what kind of mojo you're drinking. How many teams got COVID that the Rangers got to take advantage of, is right. essentially what you would ask me there.
And then you didn't tell me about Tony D'Angelo or Tammy Panarin and Filipino breaking his hand. Yeah.
Yeah, and then take it a step further, J.D. Davis.
Oh, my Mets game, everybody. Matt Alert.
I'm sorry. But it's – God, man, if that child could just play fucking defense, he'd be so good.
We're talking about Zach Jones?
No, I'm talking about – No, Zach Jones was fine. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. He looks like a child, though.
Rangers take it down to 9 games remaining. They are the 5th best team in the division, which is higher than you and I thought that they would finish this season.
Yes, sir.
They've looked competitive in a night in, night out basis. You can count on
14 one-goal losses now, Greg, after tonight.
Brutal. But also, one-goal losses, that's fluky. Like, that's straight fluky. I always think back about the year the Orioles went on their big run with Buck Showalter, and they were like 27-10 in one-run games. That wasn't that. That's just luck. That doesn't scream talent. That's just getting super lucky, and it is not repetitive.
They never did it again,
or indicative for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough, but I really do think if you were honest about your real expectations for this team before the season, if you were taking a hard look at what this division looked like, the teams the Rangers were going to play on a constant basis, the way the schedule was mapped out, if you had told me before the season started the Rangers would be the 5th best team in the division and take the playoff race down to the final 10 games of the season, I would have been surprised and I would have been happy. So I can't sit here and say that I'm that disappointed with the outcome of the season when you take a step back and think about everything. And then you add in the variables that happen this year. Mika gets COVID and is non-existent for the first half of the season.
Yep.
Artemi Panarin disappears for 2 weeks. Tony D'Angelo lasts less than 10 games. You take all these things into account, and I don't know how you can just take a step back and not be encouraged by what you saw this year. Furthermore, the performance of Ryan Lindgren, eye-opening. He's no longer just a passenger with Adam Fox.
No, not at all.
He is a difference maker in his own right. The emergence of Keandre Miller, a child who in his rookie season has proven to be reliable.
I know some people out there that are going to be like, well, he's been blah, blah, blah these last couple weeks. He's a rookie. He's way better than he's supposed to be already.
He's a rookie who isn't getting the benefit of getting to see different teams all the time.
And is on the ice 20 minutes a night, guys.
He's playing hard. 4 of the best teams 8 times a year. If there's a hole in Keandre Miller's game, the Bruins are going to find it. And it's not like he's getting completely blown out of the water.
No, he's gotten walked once in a while, but he's had a lot of better moments than he has bad moments, that's for sure.
You got to be encouraged by the turnaround in Jacob Trouba's game. With a capital C.
Oh, yeah. We haven't even mentioned that. Yeah, nice one there, Greg. That was good.
Thank you.
We haven't even mentioned his possible upper body injury, which is likely a concussion.
It's a concussion. So it's a concussion.
Yeah.
And calling it day-to-day is kind of insulting to our intellectual abilities here.
Yeah, it's called Jacob Trouba's season is over. Should be over, rather.
The most optimistic outview is he's, what, day-to-day for the next 10 days? But that takes it to the end of the season.
Right.
So it's...
Why rush him back?
This isn't the Tampa Bay Lightning. We don't have to put him on long-term IR just to fucking cheat the system.
By the way, the Lightning are cheating. It's very important for us to tell everyone that, yes.
Ryan, $85 million tied up to 14 players. 14.
Yeah. You know what? Before we go to break.
Ryan, you need 19 to play a hockey game.
Before we go to break, two things. First things. There's been a lot of writing from the mainstream NHL media over the past couple of days about this long-term IR tricks and if GMs are concerned. And then there was an article about the Maple Leafs. Who cares what the Maple Leafs are doing with long-term IR? Are we serious right now? It's not.
How does it affect the Toronto Maple Leafs? That's how.
Yeah. What about the Leafs? What about long-term IR with the Leafs? Are the Leafs cheating?
Incredible. Incredible.
Real quick before we go to break, and then we're going to come back, continue this season, the end of this season. We're going to have a full end of season review. You guys know we do this show every week, right? But
what?
Yep.
I forgot we were doing it tonight.
That's true.
Not a good start.
This episode, BSBOT, our second episode of the week, will be going away from the main feed. It'll be on a feed called patreon.com/blueshirtsbreakaway. What? Yep.
Wait.
Yep.
Are you sure?
This will be the last one. If you're like, hey, I actually really like the second episode a week. It's nice. I love the Rangers. I like Ryan and Greg, and I want to support them. It'll be on patreon.com/blueshirtsbreakaway for moving on. Can you still listen to it in your podcast player? Yes, I think everything but Spotify. Spotify is still being a little bit nitpicky about putting new RSS feeds into their app. Whatever.
Yeah, maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe if they weren't giving millions of dollars to The Ringer, they could have figured this shit out.
Yeah, well, there's a lot. You know, The Ringer, great website.
Katie Bakes. Fucking love Katie Bakes.
Do love Katie Bakes and love a lot of Ringer staffers. Anyway, so if you want to keep listening to the second episode a week, patreon.com/pushersbreakaway. We'll be right back. Transition.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We are back. All right.
Okay, back to Tampa Bay Lightning. I have the one point that really pissed me off today. Pierre LeBrun, yep. Busiest man in America, doesn't have time to come on this podcast.
I get it. He only has about 8 minutes, by the way.
Yeah, less than 10. Can't do it. Has to do it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon as well when we have fucking 9 to 5 jobs. Not the point. Not here to bitch about that. But the gall that he has to imply that Seattle getting Tyler Johnson and Alex Killorn and all $9.5 million that they're owed next year would be good for Seattle. Get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
Fuck off. You gotta be shitting me with that.
Why are we helping Tampa? I don't understand why everyone wants to help Tampa. Do we just feel bad for them? I don't understand. They win a cup.
We feel bad for the defending Stanley Cup champion who live in a fucking tax haven. My heart fucking breaks.
I feel terrible, Ryan, for them. I feel so sad. Let's fucking go to cheats. The take. Zach Jones.
Yeah, he played.
Look, I don't know how long you can wear that backwards hat.
It's a tough look. it's not just.
I know he's 20.
Well, something's happened, right? Once upon a time, when we're
old
were
now.
In high
That's
school.
One. Yeah.
What? That's one what? What did I do?
Wait, what do you mean? Where I said we're old.
Well, I don't know. Oh, yeah. No, we're fucking old. Yes. That goes without saying. It is. When we were in high school, that's when, like, the fitted hats really came back.
Yeah,
in, right?
Fit fashion.
Like, the crisp fitted hat. A lot of guys spending a lot of time at Lids.
My head is so big, I can't do hats, bro. I look 21. Ridiculous. But, yeah.
But I will say, something's changed in the last, like, 5 years, right? The snapback is back. That is the hat.
See,
rock.
You're a hat guy. You could pull hats off. You look good in hats. I look like shit.
Well, I need to because I don't have hair.
That's a part. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
It's almost like what came first, the chicken or the egg? Like, do I need a hat because I don't have hair? But also, would I have hair if I just didn't wear hats all the time?
Right.
It's a tough question. I ask myself every day. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't want to know the answer because I don't want to live with regret.
But anyway, Zach Jones, buddy, listen.
Zach Jones, you got to get the snapback, man. It's just, there's something about it. It's not quite like the crisp fitted hat. It's kind of like the dad fitted hat where you're trying to look cool by not having the snapback anymore, but it's just not working out. You got to get it. Got to get a different hat game, man. You have a lot of
stylish
guys.
His former coach,
who
just won the national title, did comment on Twitter today, put the hat down. I can't believe how fast they forget, which was an OG move. I loved it. Congratulations. Zach Jones was fine. Quinn was doing an okay job making sure that Hayek and Jones went out there on the same time. Hayek got walked a couple times in this game, and I'd really never like to see him again. That's okay. I hope Tarmo comes up for the last
Larry,
nine
that's
games.
That's Larry Brooks' guy, man. You back off.
Oh, yeah. Future guest.
Yeah, can't blame Zach Jones at all for what happened on the 2-on-1. He was on an island, did everything he possibly could there, and
yes, sir.
You know, Voracek's a very good hockey player who made a very good hockey play. I don't blame Igor or Jones for essentially getting left out to dry there. And it's not even getting left out to dry. The Rangers are down a goal and they're trying to push offensively. And when you do something like that, you leave yourself weak on the back end, and that kind of shit happens. Yeah, it's it was the most vanilla opening night or debut that I could really think of. I can't think of a moment where I was like, wow, Zach Jones looks a little overmatched.
Yeah,
I also can't think of a moment where I was like, yeah, he hung around the entire night. He did fine. I'd like to see more of him. That's basically my takeaway.
Yeah.
What the fuck happened in I just
the Mets.
Do it the Mets, man.
The Cubs, baby.
Wait, what the shit? Oh my god, dude. Javier Baez is ass.
Yeah, well, I know. You know that. What happened?
What the fuck? You want the play-by-play?
I'll cut this part out.
No, don't cut this part out. Okay. Part in. This is great.
Okay.
He hit a lazy fly ball to center field that for some reason the Mets just decided not to catch.
Yeah.
But Javi Baez went daydreaming and got picked off first base.
Sure. Yep. Okay. That makes sense.
But they're reviewing it, so maybe he didn't get picked off first base. I don't fucking know.
Who knows? 3-3.
Hey, man, it's a single for you. Good for you. Fantasy points.
Right? No one cares about my fantasy team, I promise. Sounds good. All right, now that we've gotten
the Rangers?
Zach Jones? Yeah, Zach Jones. All right, now that we've... So Jacob Trouba, we agree, shouldn't come back at this point. Zach Jones, we'll see if they can trot him out there for the next 9 games.
It's not that he shouldn't come back. It's just there's absolutely reason to rush him.
Why?
Yeah, no, if Trouba is healthy and good to go, and Trouba himself wants to get 2, 3, 4 more games in before the season's over, because there's going to be another questionably long offseason where we think the season will start regularly in October.
Yeah.
But we don't really know.
We're
going to
have
sure.
some questions about that, I think, right? With the
It should just be up to Trouba. But the Rangers should also be
when the season starts?
If you... Yeah. Yes, exactly. Listen, oh captain, my captain.
Yes.
It should be, if Trouba says he's good to go, the Rangers should be like, all right, we're going to wait 2 more days and then you're good to go. But I don't know. This is the nature of the NHL, right? We don't really know what's going on. We assume we know what's going on. We think we know what's going on, but Baez, by the way, safe at first base.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I was really worried. Let's make a prediction defensively. Does Hayek play these next 9 games with the New York Rangers?
Well, yes, especially if Trouba's out of the lineup.
I didn't know if you thought there was any chance Tarmo comes up.
I don't know why he's not here now.
I'm kind of the same way.
I don't know why he wasn't here when the Rangers were playing the Devils.
I also agree.
I don't know why he wasn't here when the Rangers decided Boteto needed to get back in the lineup instead of Hayek.
I wonder if it's a contract thing that I'm not paying attention to.
It can't be. He can't slide anymore.
So then he's not out. That. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe the Rangers, you know.
Exposure?
They like what they're seeing.
No.
They like what they're seeing out of Tarmo in Hartford, and they don't want to disrupt the boat. They don't want to rock it. What happened? What did you say?
I was saying maybe exposure for Seattle, but there's no way. He wouldn't have enough games, of course. So.
No, and again, I don't think you can – isn't the whole thing you can't expose guys on their entry-level deals?
That's correct, yes. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why me saying that was dumb. So, yeah.
You're dumb.
That's true.
And I just want to say, for the record, because I've seen it a couple times, and people are like, yeah, what the fuck's Quinn's problem? He's not calling up Tarmo. You guys realize it's not on Quinn, right?
It's not Quinn. It's Mr. Gordon.
Maybe it's a joint effort where Quinn says he wants to see more from Hayek and Boteto and all these guys, and he would prefer Tarmo to continue to get run in Hartford. But Gordon also has the power to be like, buddy, I'm just going to call him up, and we're just going to play him.
Gordon has that ability. I mean,
right. We've talked about this before. When you go back into the Wayback Machine, when we talked about taking toys away from Alain Vigneault, specifically Tanner Glass. Like, be angry all you want at the coach. The general manager has the power to be like, this guy's not going to be here anymore for you to play. And he could also have the power to say, I'm bringing this guy up and we need to get him in the lineup. Whether he can leave it up to Quinn to see how long it takes to get Tarmo in the lineup when he comes up, but Gordon needs to bring him up before Quinn can make any kind of decision with him.
Let's talk about the to kind of wrap this podcast up for the next 5-6 minutes here. The changes we want to see in the last 9 games. What would we want to, like, if you were Quinn, you had the ability, what would you do in the last 9 games? Just for experimental reasons, really just want to see how different looks happen. What would you change? Because I have a few things, I think.
Well, I mean, first and foremost remains power play one. Strom, thank you for your service. You've had a great year.
Yeah, Chris Kreider.
It's
see
not,
you later.
Not, it's not a knock on you anymore. Hey, I don't even need to take both of them off. Just take Strom off for me. Just allow Kako and Lafreniere and Kravtsov at this point to get more rotation.
That's exactly what I would do. I would take Kreider off, and I would put Kako there, and I would take Strom off, and I'd put Laf there, and that would be it. And then they can go to power play two. That's it.
I'm telling you, it wouldn't even make me upset if you kept Kreider on there.
Yep.
And you just wanted to rotate the kids in the Strom spot.
That's fine. I
do something with power play one. Change it up a little. I think it's.
I got to see Gauthier. I got to see a little bit of Gauthier over the next nine.
I don't know if I have to.
I think I want to over Brett Howden. I'm sorry, it's over for me.
Well, I think it is for sure.
It's
I
for
don't
sure
know what
over.
Else we need to, I don't know what else we need to see there. Would you rather see more Gauthier? Would you rather see Morgan Barron for the last nine games?
I'd rather see Morgan Barron. It's not even close.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like Gauthier isn't the guy. I still like Gauthier. Again, I'll say it until I'm blue in the face that if I'm Seattle and Gauthier is the guy the Rangers expose, I'm taking him and I'm not thinking twice about it. But I think we've entered a point in time where the Rangers have made a decision on Gauthier, and I'd prefer to see Barron over Howden. The Rangers still have three recalls. That is still clear as day. So it's not like they don't have room to call up Morgan Barron at this point in time. I would prefer – Barron deserves it. He's killed it in Hartford.
Yeah.
I understand that they're only playing two teams this entire year, but – you sent Barron to Hartford. You gave him a mission. He completed his mission. I think you have to reward him. I'm torn on whether the Rangers should flip Strom and Hedl as well. I think you should, but I got to say, Ryan, the most surprising part of the season, Strom's played well enough where I don't think I'm angry about it.
No, I don't. I'm not really that mad. I think Hedl should get the that play where Hedl put the puck between his legs tonight and almost scored. Filthy. Unbelievable. Hedl's going to be great.
He has that talent.
Yeah.
That is as good as Strom has been. There's an element to Strom's game that he lacks that Hedl just doesn't. Hedl has that something extra that is so tantalizing.
I know.
Strom
shows
like
it in flashes too, where it's like,
yeah,
ooh.
But like Strom's like the high floor player where a bad Strom game is still creating offensive opportunities. When Hedl has a bad game, he's just not there. You don't see him.
He's invisible.
But that's also because he's a child.
21.
And he needs to grow and he needs to find consistency in his game. So it doesn't worry me that when Hedl has a bad game, it's glaring. In these last nine games, I'd allow Hedl to have more bad games. Give him the opportunity. Give him some rope. But at the same time, for whatever reason, it just works with Strom. I'm as shocked as anybody else.
I kind of like Strom and Kako together, and I kind of want to get them back together at this point.
Do you like Strom and Kako together, or do you like Panarin and Kako together?
I think I actually kind of like Strom and Kako together, too. It's kind of weird. I really don't like Kako playing with Chris Kreider. I've said this over and over again. I think they're kind of repetitive in some ways.
Maybe he develops an element to his offensive game that it's right now. Kako is a straight line player where he's crashing the net and trying to get the puck in as he does it.
Correct.
Which is how Chris Kreider's made an entire career for himself.
Yep.
So when you have two guys that are just
really
dead set on going to the net, it does overlap. And I agree with you. It's a pairing that doesn't make a lot of sense, which is why I've always liked Kako and Lafreniere, because Lafreniere, he has a little distance in his game. He can shoot the three.
I don't mind the kid line, but I want Lafreniere up with Buch and Mika. That's where
I would keep Laf up there. I'm fine with that. But that's why I'm saying like I would put Kako with Panarin, because again, Panarin, he's a maestro. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, he's the best. He's the top five player. And top three player?
I don't know, man. Who would you rather have, Panarin or McKinnon?
McKinnon. Yeah. I think it's McDavid, McKinnon, Panarin. Probably.
Who would you rather have, Panarin or Crosby?
This season?
Or for next season?
Panarin.
You think?
Yeah.
I think that's tough.
I know. I feel bad.
We both think Sidney Crosby's a bitch.
We do. But I feel bad. I almost feel guilty saying that despite being a Ranger fan. So I think that says a lot. But I still think it's Panarin. Yeah. Hmm. I know, right? Not weird.
I'm not going to sit here and disagree with you.
Yeah,
but
I think it's Panarin. Anyway, we'll see how the lines play out. I think Kravtsov has to get a lot more playing time, too. Not that he hasn't got too much. I mean, he got like 2 minutes in the first or whatever. But every time he's on the ice, he looks electric. You know what
encourages me about Kravtsov, and it's what encouraged me last season with Adam Fox. Quinn, when he needs a goal, knows he needs Kravtsov on the ice.
Yep.
Which is what Quinn would do last year
with Tony.
When he needed a goal, he would put Fox with Tony.
Yep.
And he would say, fuck it, these guys are my offensive weapons. I'm going to get a goal. And it frustrated us to a point because we're like, well, you could just be doing that all the time. Because you always need a goal when you really think about it.
hitting home runs and scoring goals is good. Who knew?
Yeah. Putting points on the board tends to help. Hmm. But
turns out Tony couldn't play defense. That was a big reason.
Yeah, true. I mean, true. But that does encourage me greatly where there's already trust with David Quinn and Kravtsov, where it doesn't matter where Kravtsov starts the game. If the Rangers need a goal late, Vitaly is going to be on the ice. And that to me is notable. It's very notable.
Couldn't agree more. All right. Interesting weekend coming up tonight when you guys listen to this. It was another Flyer game back to back. Hopefully the Rangers can get some revenge. I won't actually be watching that game. I'll be in the woods. And then Sunday.
What game is this now?
That's the Flyers.
Saturday?
Friday night.
We play again tomorrow?
It's a back-to-back, babe. That's crazy.
Oh, are we recording after that one? Do I have to remember?
No, it's Friday night. You're free. Sunday against the Sabres, and then we'll be back on Monday night to record. So we'll see you guys next week. It should be an interesting weekend. I hope we get a lot of fun and interesting lineups. Listen, you don't need to win every game from now on. The Rangers could lose every game from this way out. I just want them to play the kids. That's it. That's all you can ask for. All right. We're out of here. We love you guys.
Bye.
Patreon.com/ butcher's breakaway. BSBOT gone forever. Bye.